The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. By the way, if you missed an earlier announcement, the next two Mondays at 3 o'clock, I have some things I'm going to share with you that I think would be of particular interest to each and every one of you. This coming Monday, the 12th at 3 o'clock, it has to do with our wonderful state of California. And then Monday, the 19th at 3 o'clock, I have an announcement that has to do with you, the listeners. And you'll want to tune in for both. If you miss somehow the live announcements or any portion of this program thereof, you can go to our website and download the podcast virtually the moment the program ends. Welcome to the broadcast. A little out of breath. Ran down the hallway. I have this inner computer in my head about time, and I just knew Wilbert was playing some bumper, and I was late. I got stuck down the hall with David James. He was bending my ear about some things. We're talking about the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus and some other things. And I'm like, okay, I'll come back. But we got to jump on the air. And here I am. Welcome to the broadcast. We're going to switch things up a little bit. First of all, the segment I'm going to play for you, an audio clip, I did not hear any of this. This is news to me. Now, you may have heard when I say, do you know the name Archer Pulowski? I think a number of you will go, well, yeah, that's the pastor from Canada.
Get out of this property immediately. Out. I don't want to hear anything. Out of this property immediately. I don't want to hear a word. Out. Out. Out of this property immediately until you come back with a warrant. Out. Out! 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 Out!
I think he means business. Archer Pulowski is a Polish immigrant raised as a young child in Poland under the throes of communism. And he knows it well. That was a number of weeks ago wherein, I believe his churches in Alberta, local law enforcement, local government came in and tried to shut down his service. Because of COVID restrictions, I saw him speak at Rob McCoy's church, Godspeak, a couple of Mondays ago. And there was a lot about Archer Pulowski I didn't know. One of the main points being, I just heard about him recently and thought, my goodness, he's a brave man. He's been fighting the government for more than 15 years. In 2005, he was arrested. He was shackled and arrested for, you ready for this? Having the audacity to publicly feed the homeless. So he's been battling the government in Canada for a number of years. So as I play this story, I had no idea of some other things that are going on in Canada. For instance, do you know more than 20 churches have been burned by leftist groups in Canada? It's a story I've not seen report anywhere.
Well, it's not getting a lot of attention in this country because we don't give Canada any attention at all. But all of a sudden, Canada looks a lot like the Soviet Union. Seem like we're exaggerating a little bit? Well, they're burning Catholic and Anglican churches in recent days. Leftist groups are. But Canada's leaders aren't condemning the burning of churches. No, they're endorsing the burning of churches. The head of the British Columbia Civil Liberties Association, a monster called Harsha Walia, tweeted this, quote, burn it all down. Then a close confidant of the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, a man called Gerald Butts, called the arson, and we're quoting now, understandable. A woman called Heidi Matthews, meanwhile, of Harvard Law School, described the attacks as, quote, the right of resistance to systemic injustice. Burning churches. Now. This is not the Spanish Civil War. This is now in Canada. And not just churches. Rioters just tore down the statue of Queen Victoria in Winnipeg on Canada Day.
No pride in genocide.
Now, we'd love to go inside Canada tonight, but we can't get there. It's like 1985 Albania. It's a closed country. So instead, we're speaking by satellite tonight to Ezra Levant with Rebel Media within Canada. He joins us now. Ezra, thanks so much for doing the show. What is going on in Canada? Serious. I mean, this is, it's hard to believe what's happening in Canada. What is this?
Well, I'm reluctant to use the word Kristallnacht because we're not there yet. That was the night of the broken glass in pre-Holocaust Germany, where they smashed and burned and killed Jewish synagogues. It was a precursor to the Holocaust. Obviously, we are not that far gone yet. But what do you call it when literally dozens of churches are being systematically vandalized, torched? There was one fire in the BC interior that wiped out a whole village of 250 people, two people dead, and it is not yet determined who caused it, but it was in an area where other churches have been torched, so it may actually have its first victims. The crazy thing is this is so explicitly an anti-church hate crime wave, and yet Justin Trudeau, who is normally the first and the wokest, waited a week before saying anything, and he literally said, that's not the way to go. That was as tough as he got. He introduced an anti-hate crimes bill in Parliament that's targeting mean tweets and Facebook posts, but literally you have church after church being torched by Antifa-style terrorists, and he's almost silent on the matter, and his right-hand man finds it understandable. I think these are dark days for religious freedom in Canada.
Yeah, when they're burning churches and the head of the BC Civil Rights Commission says burn it all down? I mean, that person sounds like a dangerous lunatic. Is that, I mean, who is that? What is going on?
And she hasn't been sacked. That was over a week ago that she said it. In fact, various board members of her Civil Liberties Association have supported her. By the way, these churches often have Aboriginal, Indigenous congregants, and they're saying, don't burn our churches down. It's the Canadian equivalent of when Black Lives Matter burns down Black-owned businesses in Black neighborhoods. That does not help Black people. In Canada, most of these churches are Aboriginal focused, and you often have, in one case, white Antifa style vandals filming themselves desecrating a church. And the trouble is, from the very top, it's either silence or tacit support.
So more than 20 churches in Canada have been torched. One may ask, what does that have to do with America? Why would you play such an expose? Well, other than, obviously, when it comes to other parts of the world, the church is the church, and if we have groups targeting churches north of us in Canada, I think concern speaks for itself, number one. And number two, when you talk about that level of hatred toward religious freedom, let's take a look at our country here. Now, last summer, we saw a lot of things blow up, happen, that we haven't seen in a long time. It was almost akin to, as a very young guy, what I saw in the 60s. Nationwide protests, Black Lives Matter all of a sudden became somewhat known. Elements in the church saw Black Lives Matter as just being, well, we have to stand against racism, so we stand with Black Lives Matter. Remember Blackout Tuesday? Everybody took to their Instagram, posted a little black square. Boy, how complete are we? Failing to look into some of the mission statements, some of the core precepts of some of the founders of Black Lives Matter, which at the core is Marxism. It's anti-American. We saw groups of people, even in the church, hundreds of white people, line up opposite hundreds of black people, white people on their knees asking for forgiveness, the whole conversation about race, racism, the country, the founders, please forgive us. Symbolically, okay, even though I have great concerns about bowing to any man, like somehow a man is not going to heal you of wounds. Ultimately, only God can do that, whether it's racism, sexual abuse, whatever it is. We have a media with its narrative. These were all peaceful protests. Forget the billions of dollars of damage and communities being burned, looted. No, it was just payback for racist past and form of reparation. And in all of the movement, the hardcore leftist activists, a lot of the Black Lives Matter, and the church, a lot of us just ignorant, naive, gullible. We are seeing the onslaught of the teachings of Marxism be normalized in our country now. Part of it is anti-American. We took a call from the previous hour where there's a concern about the founding of our country, that somehow all racist, or this idea that the founders had slaves, despicable, let's tear statues down. It all happened last summer. By the way, a new poll, 36% of young people say they're proud to be American. Leaves about 60% of those in this age category say they're not proud to be American. They're learning well. They're being brainwashed and taught well to hate this country. There is a chapter of Black Lives Matter in Utah. Now, I'm just going to say it's the chapter. I won't broad stroke. It's the whole organization. But this news story is that in a social media post on the 4th of July, the Utah chapter of Black Lives Matter declared that the American flag is a hate symbol. Statement read, quote, "When we black Americans see this flag, we know the person flying it is not safe to be around. When we see this flag, we know the person flying it is a racist. When we see this flag, we know that the person flying it lives in a different America than we do. When we see this flag, we question your intelligence. We know to avoid you. It's a symbol of hatred," end quote. And there's more. Lex Scott, founder of Black Lives Matter Utah, said the intention of the post was to generate a reaction and show how the flag is being co-opted by extremist groups. Scott said, quote, "The point of the post was to make everyone uncomfortable. American flag has taught us from birth to represent freedom, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness," end quote. Scott noted that her sentiments were triggered by the sight of photos depicting members of far-right organization Patriot Front marching through Philadelphia carrying the American flag on the eve of the 4th of July. Scott said, quote, "They're flying American flags. The KKK is flying American flags. The Proud Boys are flying American flags. They climbed the Capitol for their failed insurrection. We're beating police officers with American flags. I've not heard any outrage from Republicans or the right about the use of the American flag as a hate symbol." She goes on, "We're seeing that symbol used in every racist hate group's messaging across this nation. The problem that I have is no one is addressing the people who are using it for hate. So I'm telling you, when I see an American flag, I begin to feel fear for the simple fact that every time I'm faced with hatred, it's at the hands of someone carrying an American flag," end quote. Now, there's a lot to that. I don't have 20 minutes to break everything down, but I will tell you this. First of all, the flag represents a lot of things. Is there anything good the flag represents? Anybody sacrifice and spill their blood for freedoms in this country, or is it all just bad? Is it all just hate mongers that hide behind the flag? See, but there's a deeper issue being pushed forth here, and that's the issue of racism. We've got a new administration. Some of you that represent yourself as Christians voted for this administration. All of their tenets anti-biblical, but somehow you've squared that in your mind that it's okay because you bought the lie of the previous president. Somehow he was just this racist, out-of-control loon, bad man orange, right? You've bought the lies in part from the propaganda machine, which is the media. David Jeremiah from his pulpit on Sunday said, why would you believe anything that comes out of the media? They lie about everything. Praise God for Christian leaders and brave men and pastors like Dr. Jeremiah. He's right. But then there's another agenda being pushed here. Even the very roots of Black Lives Matter is Marxist. We in America, we've celebrated such freedom in this country. And I'm not saying 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, we didn't have race riots and serious problems with racism. Of course we did. Dr. King and many others sacrificed their lives to make this a better nation, to show the ills. But to say somehow it's not gotten any better, we have racist cops gunning down black people, is just an outright lie. But it's also an agenda and an issue being pushed by those that would undermine the very tenets of this country. 36% of young people in America aren't proud of America. They're bombarded, brainwashed. Institutions of higher learning, university campuses, telling them nonstop, it's white people that are racist. The founding of the country, they were slave owners. They were all white men. Tear down statues. Undermine the country. This is a Marxist agenda. And when you get the media, the propaganda machine that lines behind the corporations, spreading that issue, it's a perfect storm, and it's very intended. There are people that hate this country. They want to tear this nation down. It's time to wake up. I'd say wake up and smell the coffee. But it's much more than that. Now, I don't want to rationalize it, justify it as some simple broad stroke, because I believe a lot of this is spiritual warfare. I get emails from people all the time. Oh, you're such a weak Christian. You attribute everything to Satan. Okay, if that's what you want to tell yourself, you should walk in my shoes for 24 hours. But the deception to twist the realities of sin, like racism, into the country is completely racist is a lie from hell. Defunding institutions like the police, leftists, Democrats, all last summer, that's all they yelled and screamed, defund the police. And now what's the new spin? It was the Republicans that called for defunding the police. Okay. Like Dr. Jeremiah said, find out for yourself, but the truth is still out there somewhere. You may have to search for it. Censorship. Tech monopolization. You look at COVID, which we're going to get into next segment. The idea of pulling anything from the public arena that doesn't say what you want it to say, which is the government propaganda. Take the shot. COVID is bad. Those that don't take the shot are the problem. And that's the only way we're going to beat this virus. By the way, 99% of the population that get it survive. This isn't the Black Plague. This isn't the Spanish flu or the pandemic of 1918. But that's the way it's being purported. And oh yeah, more lockdowns. Lockdowns. Shutting down schools. Isolating healthy people. Abandoning parents in nursing homes. How dare we buy into a government that lies to such extent for their own corporate and their own power-hungry interest? And so many of us bought it because we were afraid of this virus early on. But woe to those that, after a period of time, you could see the writing on the wall, what was truth and what wasn't. Medical practitioners being shut down and censored that say, oh no, there's other ways, there's therapeutics. Dr. Richard Bartlett, I just pick him as one of many, treats patients in Texas, healed people from COVID. Therapeutics, but no, it's all you hear. Take the shot, take the jab. It's not even FDA approved. And somehow, if you choose not to put a medicine or could be something that would have adverse reactions in your body, forget if you've even had COVID. Do what you're told. There's an agenda being pushed, and it's full on. It's full court press right now. And you think the summer that somehow, oh, well, thank goodness the pandemic's over. Well, I'm not here to doom and gloom. I'm just here to say the people that embrace so much power, that took your rights away that you freely gave up, you think they're just going to give them back to you? Do we even want to get back to the way we were? I don't. Much more to share on the other side. We have two lines open, 888-528-2557. And what about the idea of individuals and groups pushing back on things that we're told we need to embrace and don't question? We'll talk about that next here on the Frank Sontag Show. What happened? I come back, the board's filled. We got calls coming in, 888-528-2557. And we will take some of your phone calls in a few moments. I want to share a little bit and some audio about, well, where we are right now with this dreaded COVID virus. You may have heard there is a new campaign from the White House, this idea of knocking door to door, checking to see if you've gotten your shot. I had a friend tell me a little while ago, he got a phone call. They offered, hey, we'll come get you your shot. What about the idea of, you know, thank you, but no thank you. I'm not really interested right now. Tucker Carlson last night ran, or I think it was Tuesday, ran an interesting story that the median age of COVID deaths in many states across the country are actually much higher than life expectancy. You may say, well, what does that mean? Britt Hume, a man that I hold in high regard, one of the original of generations removed of journalists that really are there to get down to the bottom of things, responded in this way.
The first thing that it tells us is something that we believe we have known all along from the very beginning, that this was a disease that disproportionately affects the elderly. That was said at the beginning, and lots of things have changed in what has come to be our basic knowledge about this disease, but not that. So we knew this from the start, that the elderly were uniquely vulnerable and most likely to get very sick, most likely to die. And even though it appears from these numbers that a lot of people who were going to die were probably close to the age where they were going to die anyway, obviously you want people to live as long as they can, and yes, every death, as you pointed out, is regrettable. But what we did was, in this case, is we didn't do a particularly good job of protecting them in many instances, the state of New York being a conspicuous example where, you know, elderly people were taken out of hospitals and sent into nursing homes while infected with the disease where they spread it to others, and the death toll from that was very high. So we've had a high death toll disproportionately among the elderly, and what we did to deal with that is instead of quarantining the elderly and making the most strenuous possible efforts to protect them, we quarantined the healthy as well, shut down the economy, shut down the schools, and, you know, and with incalculable damage to children, to their education, to their mental health, and all the rest of it. And of course, the toll from that in terms of, you know, mental health issues and failed education and all the rest of it, we won't know for some years, but we know it's serious. So this was about as badly handled as any public policy issue I can remember.
So Tucker Carlson made the point about what about being forced to take the shot, and Britt Hume responds.
The idea that you would force people to take medicine they don't want or need, is there a precedent for that in our lifetimes?
Well, to be fair, it seems to me that what they're doing is, their argument would be, Tucker, that what they're trying to do is make it as easy as possible for people to get the vaccine and for people who are hesitant to perhaps encourage them that they have nothing to fear. However, you know, vaccines do have side effects. This, after all, is not yet an FDA-approved medicine. This is operating under a temporary emergency use authorization. Perhaps it will in the future be fully authorized by the FDA, fully approved, but it's not yet. And if people, it seems to me, if people are hesitant to take it, particularly if they're not in the vulnerable category, it seems to me that's not an unreasonable thing and should be respected.
You would hope it would be respected. It's not really that much of an unreasonable thing. Many people say, well, I'm in no hurry. Let's at the very least wait till the FDA approves these drugs. And yet, these aren't the times we live. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about the idea of fighting forced vaccinations. We'll get to that in a moment, but I want to take a few calls. And some of the calls on the screen have different topics. I want to begin with Rudy in Anaheim. You're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate your reporting on a lot of issues, and I think, just like the first off, I think it's ridiculous that people are ashamed or not proud of their country because extremists or people who are racist, they fly their flag, does not mean that us as regular Americans who belong to every creed and color should not also fly the American flag, because I believe that this is a nation made for the people. Anyways, I wanted to comment a little bit about the story out from Canada that they're burning churches in these predominantly Indian territories. I was wondering why you didn't also report that there's been mass graves found of lots of children. It's already topped over 1,000 children in all these Indian boarding schools where, like the commenter on Tucker Carlson said, it's a dark day for freedom of religion. It was the same thing for these Indians who could not practice their religion. They couldn't speak their own languages, and so they were forced into these boarding schools that were run by Protestants, and I was wondering what you thought of that.
First of all, I'm not sure if you're intentionally mixing the two. They're separate stories. The burning of churches today in Canada has nothing to do with the founding of unmarked graves.
So you were talking about the burning of churches in British Columbia, and that's where a lot of these graves have been found.
Okay, but that is not why the churches were burned, nor they found unmarked graves at the site of burned churches. The story actually is, I'm sorry, go ahead. If you want to argue, please do. Go ahead.
I'm wondering why you're not presenting it within the context that all these Indian tribes are actually coming, these news stories are coming out, and
Because it's a separate issue. It's not, maybe in your mind.
It's a separate issue. What do you think about it? Answer that question.
First of all, I don't know why you're using the name Rudy. You call and oftentimes like to be confrontative. That's fine. I can discuss or debate, or if you want to have an argument, go for it.
Just
I'm trying to be
question.
Honest with you. You asked me why I didn't bring up that 1,000 unmarked graves have been discovered near the grounds of former residential schools for Indigenous children. It has nothing to do with more than 20 churches are being torched right now because in Canada there are leftist groups that hate God and they're burning churches. I don't see them being the same story.
You don't necessarily know who the people are burning the churches, but you also mentioned that they're happening in areas where it's predominantly Indian and Indigenous people.
I didn't say that. The report said that.
Okay. I'm just curious what you think about that story. Should they respond to these new findings?
The church. What do you mean the church? Are we going to broad stroke the church as a church as if it's all one thing?
Well, you use the word the church a lot. So I'm just think about it in the sense that you use it.
So your question is what?
My question is, how does the church respond to these findings that all these mass graves of children, unmarked graves, are being found?
Well, the answer is, in Canada, there's been an uproar and a furor over the unmarked graves that have been discovered, and there's an investigation going on right now. Thank you for the call. I don't see the connection or the correlation between churches being burned right now by leftist groups that hate God, and they're making statements right now. And Justin Trudeau, the prime minister, has nothing to say about it. I find it interesting. There's a correlation. Even the announcer made mention of Black Lives Matter. We see similar things going on in our country. That's why I brought the story up. The idea of finding unmarked graves of indigenous children of years past is a separate issue. And I just would love to know what your real name is, because every time you call, you use a different name. Gail in Los Angeles, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Gail, are you there? Hello, hello.
Hello?
Gail, you're on the air. Okay, we'll come back to you. Maybe you have your radio on. Mariano in Anaheim. Mariano, you're on the air.
Hello, Frank. I got 2 points. I'll try to get to it. I'm the disabled Navy veteran. I went to the VA a week ago, and the doctor had asked me, why have you taken the vaccine? And I said, no, I'm not taking it again. And he asked me why. Well, it's against my religious beliefs. And then just jokingly, he said, oh, I guess you want to meet your maker soon. And this is at the Long Beach VA in Long Beach. And I was really surprised that he said that. Another point, I'm in the movie industry, 18 years as a SAG actor. And now SAG is requiring us to have the vaccine in order to work union jobs. And it's difficult for me because I do not want to take the vaccine. And I've taken COVID tests every time before I work on a movie set. Some of the stuff is union, but when you're working a non-union, it's different. So that was my experience. And I also had a friend who had cancer. And it was, I think, prostate cancer. He got COVID, and he made it. He got sick, but he made it, and he's about in his 50s. So I just wanted to give those three points out on my experience with COVID.
Mariano, I'm grateful for your call. No, you're welcome to share anytime. All right, I was going to go back to Gail. She is not there, so we'll move on to another portion of the segment here. So the idea, even on college campuses, you're hearing students can't go back to universities, whether they've had COVID or not, unless they get a vaccination. Part of the theme on the program today is, what do we do? How do we push back? Co-founder of Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk, has some things to say about the idea of forcing college students to take a shot.
The first thing that it tells us is something that
So my wife and I made the decision not to get the vaccine, and I announced that at an event a couple months ago. And then some of our Turning Point USA students came up to me. They said, Charlie, we can't make that same decision if we want to continue going to college. I said, what do you mean? They said, my university is basically mandating us to get the vaccine, saying that if we do not get the vaccine, then we're going to have to be subject to testing, or we have to take online courses, or wear a mask, sometimes outside at universities where we've been told that masking actually makes almost no difference outside of the transmission of the virus. What's happening here, Tucker, is force and control. And what's been really strange to see is how few organizations or people are pushing back against this. Yeah. So we organize high school and college kids. This is obvious for us, saying that we are not going to tolerate students to be forced to get the vaccine against their will. This is a very simple issue. It's about medical freedom and privacy. And if you have concerns about the vaccine, which, by the way, a lot of people do, including Dr. Malone and Brett Weinstein, you should be able to opt out of the vaccine, especially if you're an 18 or 19 or 20-year-old, where you are the lowest risk cohort in the entire country of dying from the Chinese coronavirus. The stories are mounting of young people that have got the vaccine and then have unusual health events afterwards. At Turning Point USA, we are going to give it everything we have to make sure that students are not going to have to live in a medical apartheid because they don't want to get the vaccine.
Again, Charlie Kirk is co-founder of Turning Point USA. He also talked out about, well, the plans of helping college students say no to the vaccination.
So the first thing is, we're going to offer legal help through some legal experts we know to any sort of exemptions that might exist, especially at public universities where there might be religious exemptions. Those are going to be tough, Tucker, because unfortunately we have not seen the type of decisive action that these Republican state legislators should have been taking this spring and early summer to be able to grant exemptions for their students. We're going to put pressure on Republican governors and say, you have to make sure the state universities do not mandate these vaccines and create these almost two realities. It's this medical ultimatum. But more than anything else, Tucker, what we are going to do is a massive public relations campaign and make sure students know they are not alone. They don't have to hide in the shadows. That's all right. Of a sudden, they're concerned that if they get the vaccine, they're going to be treated as if there's something. I said this earlier, and this is a big statement, but it's almost this apartheid style open air hostage situation. Like, oh, you can have your freedom back if you get the jab. This is unacceptable. We're going to fight back against it.
Charlie Kirk on Tucker Carlson, I believe it was last night. 888-528-2557. When we continue, we're going to talk a little bit about fear, the climate of coercion, and if you say no, does no mean no? We'll also invite you to call the program, 888-528-2557. Our final segment of this, The Frank Sontag Show, is next. Thank you for joining us here on The Frank Sontag Show. I have a thought that is going to be uncensored. On the break, sometimes I like to look at emails. And I'll, in honesty, I'll get maybe, I don't know, 5, 10 on a break. And I'll scan through them. And some are unreadable on the air. But I just, there's a part of me that wants to just read some of these. I guess in this day and age, if you get an email account, you can say anything you want without repercussions. And sometimes I just get some of the, I don't know, the nastiest emails. You people, I want to pray for you and not react to you. But sometimes it's hard to do. And this COVID and this mandatory shot thing has really got some people wigged out. Like on the air, I'll just say, and I'll quote medical experts. People that have served on the front lines. I mentioned Dr. Richard Bartlett, and I got an email from a guy, you're not a doctor, you're spreading dangerous information. And all I'm saying is, should you not have a right to say, well, no, thank you right now. I'm not interested in taking the shot. Maybe if the FDA approves it, goes through some more trials, we come to a place in this this quote-unquote pandemic, and I should have the choice to say yes or no. Versus this idea that anyone that chooses not to take the shot, it's not a vaccination, it's not a vaccine, it's an experimental drug, you should have a right to say no. Versus you're going to risk the lives of other people. Right, by saying no, like you have to. So let me leave you with this thought. Remember, to get vaccinated, or a vaccinated person might get sick from the virus they got vaccinated against because you're not vaccinated. Something along those lines. I mean, what's the point, right? People are being separated and scapegoated because of their own choice to live their lives and choose health in their lives the way they do. This is such an interesting time to be alive. Oh, let's see. Yeah, I think I'm done with the calls. Lloyd, Sheldon, Jerry, Sarah, and others, thank you. I think I want to end with one story, and then maybe I'll close out in prayer. I will not be here tomorrow. My wife's grandmother, a matriarch of the family, passed away a number of weeks ago. She's going to be honored tomorrow in a memorial. So I will not be here. Please pray for my wife and her family. This is quite a loss. But we want to honor this great woman of God. And so I will not be here tomorrow. Here's a story. Women's health and civil liberties author, we just talked about the idea of you should be able to live your life the way you choose, Naomi Wolf has had her Twitter account suspended and YouTube channel frozen after she had the audacity to raise questions about side effects from the vaccine. She also shared her concern about the constitutionality of lockdowns. And she also had some interesting words to say about Anthony Fauci. She's talking about now getting a lawyer and maybe suing. By the way, did you hear Badman Orange? He's suing some of the social media giants. Oh, I can't wait to see how that comes out. Oh. Naomi Wolf said in an email, quote, "It's premature to give details, but I'm in discussion with a legal team about a lawsuit against Twitter. I've also been approached by another legal team about joining a class action lawsuit against several social media platforms," end quote. Wolf said she has not been given any explanation as to why and to what piece of content she posted triggered the suspension. Despite her multiple attempts to reach out to both Twitter and YouTube, in fact, she received no explanation whatsoever from either platform. She was told, Twitter said, that she was spreading vaccine misinformation. Considers that both false and defamatory. There's more to the story, but you get the idea. Right? If you even question any of this, boy, you're just silenced. You're just shut down. Pretty crazy. Peter McCullough was on Tucker Carlson. I don't have time to play all of this. Here's a little bit of it.
Peter McCullough is an eminent physician. He's an internist and a cardiologist. We had an amazing conversation with him that lasted for more than an hour on Tucker Carlson today. It covered a lot of ground. It was mostly about the coronavirus and how to respond to it. But one part of the discussion stuck out, and we wanted to share it with you tonight. It turns out there is still no treatment protocol for physicians trying to treat patients with coronavirus. What? It's true. Here's part of our conversation.
I'm a doctor. I treat patients one by one. And I can tell you, and I testify to this, I have treated all my high-risk patients. I think it would be immoral, unethical, and from a civil perspective, illegal not to do that. So that question is best posed to all the doctors and medical centers and groups that haven't been treating COVID-19. We're a year into this. Where's the Mayo Clinic protocol? Where's the Harvard protocol? Where's Johns Hopkins?
There isn't one?
You mean, do they have COVID treatment
clinics? Well, I don't know.
Have they helped people avoid hospitalization and death, or have they just sat back and just received the cases as they've come in? I'm telling you, something is up. The entire world has been on defense. Maybe it's all driven out of fear. But we are not treating something that is a treatable problem early. We are making this so much harder than it should be.
And people have died as a result of that, obviously.
I testified in the U.S. Senate. I thought at November 19th, I thought 50% of the deaths could have been avoided because it was a learning curve of how we put this together. Remember, there are no large randomized trials of multi-drug therapy. None are even forthcoming. And our naysayers have said, listen, Dr. McCullough, you don't have enough evidence. It's like, of course I don't have enough evidence. That's 5 years away. And the guidelines say, well, there's not enough evidence to treat patients. Well, what are we going to do? Let them die? Of course not. I'm telling you, I have no agenda, but I am deeply concerned that something has gone off the rails in the world. It involves science. It involves the medical literature. It involves the regulatory response. It involves populations kept in fear and in isolation and despair.
Man's name is Dr. Peter McCullough. Father God, in your word, it says we're more than two are gathered, you hear our prayers. I believe there's more than two people listening right now. Father, please help us see your truth above everything that we are bombarded with in this day. You made this day. You made us. You knit us in our mother's womb before we were even a thought. We ask that this day that you give us, the only day that you speak to us and show your undeniable truths and why we're here. What are we to do in this day? Father, use us for your glory. May we lose our sin nature and ask for forgiveness and repent and seek you. Father, we don't know if there is a tomorrow, but we know that you're the God of many opportunities. You're the God of possibilities. I just pray this short prayer in your precious name, Jesus. Please speak to us. One of my first pastors said, you know, people are stubborn. People are selfish. God is more willing to speak to us and lead us than we're willing to listen and be led. I pray against that lie. Father God, please speak to us in the time we have. Show us who you are. And I pray we have the courage by the blood of Jesus to live accordingly and to push back any lies of the evil one. I pray this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. KKLA family, I love you. Lord willing, I'll be back Monday for another broadcast. Please be safe. Seek God above all and ask for forgiveness. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. He's the only answer in this life. This is the Frank Sontag Show.